You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It makes me weak and in a hurry. All night long I lay and I worry. I'm so afraid that I'm gonna talk in my sleep. Who do I love?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:01 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down Port O'Connor way now. Let's strike up a conversation with Captain Lynn Smith. That's kind of tough to do sometimes. Lynn, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
What's up?
I love these wind direction changes, don't you?
Oh, isn't it awesome? It's just, man, it keeps you on your toes, brother.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, Thursday, I got windburn Thursday like you wouldn't believe. Oh, man.
It's hard to get sunburned right now with all the cloud cover we've been having. You got to get windburn.
Oh, I got back from fishing Thursday, and I took a shower, and I looked in the mirror, and I went, oh, my gosh, I got sunburned. And then I realized it was windburn.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I was burned bad. I mean, I got beat up, you know. But my guys caught their trout. They caught all their trout, and
well, that's
and
good.
Then we went, yeah, and then we went looking for redfish, and all we could catch were more trout, you know.
And, well, that's not a bad problem.
No, it wasn't. But I got back to the clean table, and the old boy at the bait camp, he said, "Well, that's the first legal trout we've seen in 2 weeks." Because the only trout they were catching at the jetties were oversized trout.
Right.
And they were having to release them. And I said, well, that's a good thing. You know, it's good to see that they're showing up. And, but, you know, on the Thursday, it was blowing so hard. I said, heck, we were planning on wading. And the guys decided they didn't want to wade. So I said, okay. So I took my waders off and everything. And we just stayed in the boat. And, I said, well, I know where we can catch some trout, you know, out of the boat. So we did, and then we went looking for redfish and didn't catch any. We hooked a good one and lost him, but all we were catching were trout. And yeah, and then, which, like I say, that's a good thing, you know. But anyway, the next day, the wind laid the next day, and a customer of mine, his wife is a good fisherman, man. She loves throwing topwaters. And she hooked a trout of a lifetime. I mean,
really?
she hooked a pig, boy. And she got that fish to the boat, and it just pulled loose. But that trout was 30 or better.
My goodness.
Oh, it was a pig. Yeah. And, I mean, she's caught some good ones in her life. I mean, she's caught some, you know, probably 27 or 28, but that one was well over 28. And it was 30 or better.
Yeah, that's a good fish, man.
Oh, it was. Yeah. So,
what'd she hook it on?
Oh, she hooked on a she-dog. It was
she-dog.
A gold-sided blackback, orange belly.
Oh, the 08-08.
That was one. And that was her favorite one. And, oh, man, she just
That's a good spring color.
Yeah, that was her sick. She was just sick over that.
I bet.
But, yeah. But that's her favorite bait, that she-dog. And you know, and caught some reds, too, small reds. But they caught their trout. They caught their limited trout on that same bait. But, yeah. Yeah, Friday was a whole different day compared to Thursday, you know. That wind laid way down Friday. But it was a pretty, pretty day. Pretty topwater day, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, what a difference a day makes, isn't it? Should have been here yesterday type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the old saying? When you fish with a guide, you need to book him for 3 days, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Then there's no
That's
excuses.
Right. That's right.
No more
excuses.
Yeah,
buddy, my excuses. A buddy of mine used to say down here, he said, you know what follows 40-mile-an-hour winds and driving rain? Monday.
Monday, yeah. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to say that all the time. And that
well,
was about
the weekend
right.
Warriors, they get slapped in the face big time, year-round. Because, you know, that's all they've got is those that two-day window to fish on the weekends. And it seems like
That's right. And they get hammered, boy.
They get hammered all the time. It's crazy.
We used to go down to Mansfield and sit in a condo and watch it just blow and pour down rain, and then Sunday afternoon everything would just straighten up. You know,
you had fair off real nice, and you had to head back home. Kind of like going to the Chandeliers. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
Go down there for 3 days and you get one good day to fish.
I remember leaving Mansfield one time like that, and we pulled out of Mansfield, headed toward Raymondville, and boy, the Now guy came out on the ranches. Boy, I mean, they were loving it. Come out, the good weather showed up.
Uh-huh.
Boy, they were everywhere, feeding on the ranches. It was incredible. But, boy, for 2 days, it rained and just poured down rain. You know, just
Typical.
Nasty weather. Yep, it was. Typical. Incredible. You make that long drive and then not even make a fish, really. Mm. But it happens, you know. When you're working for a living, you got to do it. You got to do it.
That's so true.
It is, man. Yep. And you got to feel for guys. You know, I did it for years and years, you know, sitting in an office staring out the window. And then beautiful days, boy, I think, man, what am I doing here, you know? And my buddies would call me, telling me, man, we're just hammering the fish, you know.
I used to hate that, man, when I'd be at work and I'd look out and there's a leaf moving on a tree, the weather's perfect, and you're wanting to be fishing so bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I said, the hell with it, and I just quit and took up fishing for a living. Probably
a big mistake,
but hey, if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it again. You only did it once, man. Go for it.
I did too, and
it's only money. It's only money, man.
Well, that's it. You know, next month it'll be 30 years for me. Mm. 30 years, and I went into my boss and I said, you know, do you plan to move me into this other department and everything? And he said, no, don't really have plans to do that. And I said, well, then I'm gonna give you 2 weeks' notice. And he said, what? I said, I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice. I said, because. You know, he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going fishing,
baby.
I'm going to get my captain's license, and I'm going to start guiding. And I'm just going to start enjoying life for a change, you know. I'm tired of this hassle. I really am. And then they talked me into staying another month and help them on another project, you know. But I didn't want to burn any bridges, so I said, okay. So I stayed another month, but, boy, then I was gone.
I remember that used to happen to old Captain Bob Fuston all the time, you know, down at Mansfield. He and I had a booth together at the fishing show 1 year, and we moved everything in, had our booth set up all nice, and he come in the next day and was picking up all his photos. I said, what are you doing? He said, man, I got to go. Some company called him in. You know, he'd been retired forever. Said, man, this is a consulting job, and I can't turn it down. It's so much money, you can't even believe it, what they're wanting me to pay me for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
So he loaded up and hauled butt. He was gone.
Well, couldn't pass it up.
Yeah. No. I mean, and you know, he was into that, you know, nuclear power plant engineering or something like that. I don't remember what he was into, but he just got so many offers he couldn't turn them down. You know, when they had some kind of project start up, he had to get things rolling for them, groundwork.
Yeah.
He said, them fish still be there when I get back home.
Oh, yeah.
He had a good temperament. He was a good guy, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he passed away, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Didn't? Yeah,
I thought he did.
I don't know what, you know, I don't know what became a friend. You know, his wife, she was real sweet, too. Boy, she used to show us a good time. We'd go down there and stay with him.
The old Red Bandana.
Red Bandana Charters.
That's it. Yep. I remember.
Never
well.
Wore shoes. Wade fished barefooted every trip.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how many times he'd been stuck by rays, you know, sliding his foot up on them. Yeah.
Not me, buddy.
No. Nah, got them boots on.
Oh, man, yeah. You gotta do it. I said there's two kinds of Wade fishermen, the ones that have been hit by rays and the ones that are fixing to be hit, you know.
He'd always tease me and Blaine. I'd yell at him down the shoreline. He'd have a good fish on. I'd say, you got a good trout on? He said, no, just another Mickey Eastman, Blaine Fryermood 8. Kind of like a Port O'Connor 4.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you. Yeah, Thursday we hooked a ray. I got him up the boat. And I said, I think I'll cut that leader. Let him have that hook.
He can have it all.
He can have it. You betcha. I don't mess with him.
Mm-mm. No. That's trying to take that's like trying to take a topwater out of an alligator's mouth. He can have
it. Oh, yeah.
He was man enough to eat it. He's man enough to wear it. He can have it.
Yeah. We've been seeing a few gators around here.
Yeah, they're out, buddy.
There's some pretty good ones. Pretty good dinosaurs, we call them.
Yeah, big old lizards.
Yes, sir.
As they're not man-eaters.
Yeah, that's right. I used to go, when I was living in Port Arthur, we used to go over across into Louisiana, and we'd take a flat-bottom boat, aluminum boat, and we'd drag it over a levee into a compartment, and we'd bass fish in these compartments. And, boy, I mean, you talk about alligators. They were solid. They were everywhere. Ooh. And, boy, they'd follow you top water all the way up to the boat, you know. And finally you get bored. If you weren't catching bass, you get bored and let one of those alligators take you top water, you know. And you'd fight an alligator for a little bit, you know. We'd have fun. But I remember going into those compartments one time, and at any one time, you could look around and count 300 or 400 alligators at one time.
Oh,
they were just all around you. Solid, you know, all different sizes. And I came around there and turned into one of those little tributaries off the main canal. I turned into one of those tributaries with my aluminum boat. I had a 10-horse Johnson on that boat. And when I turned into that compartment, they had rollers. And you pull in there and you pull up there and get on each side of that roller.
Is that down there by Port Arthur?
Well, it was, but it was over near Cameron, Louisiana.
Oh, okay. And, well, they had a place like that off of Bayou in Port Arthur. My brother used to fish like that.
Uh-huh. Well, we'd leave out of Port Arthur and we'd drive across the bridge and then drive on around to Cameron, toward Cameron, Louisiana.
Right.
And anyway, we'd get on both sides of the rollers and then drag your boat over the rollers and then the compartment. And I pulled around in that little tributary, and I was on top with that aluminum boat, and I just whipped around toward those rollers, and there was an alligator laying beside those rollers. I'll guarantee you he was longer than the boat we were in.
Oh,
and Lord. Man, that gator stood up. Oh, you talk about a dinosaur. this was a dinosaur.
That's
and he stood up, and he was headed right toward us. Well, all he was trying to do was get in the water, you know.
Yeah.
And, man, I was kicking that 10 horse in reverse and doing everything I could, and that buddy of mine was up front. He was trying to get back there where I was.
And this thing's trying to get in the boat with us.
Oh, he was. That gator, he hit the water and threw water all over us. I mean, he was a true dinosaur, man.
Yeah, that's he's seen a few things in his days. All right, let me do this break, Lynn. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, man.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, if I remember right, I think that was Sabine Refuge that we fished over there. And we'd go over to Pleasure Island and drive around to Sabine Refuge. And I used to love to be the first boat to put in over there. And I'd tell my buddies, I said, man, we got to leave early and go over there, because I put my 14-foot aluminum boat and a 10-horse motor in there. That's all you could take in there. That's what they allowed, biggest boat motor. And I'd run down this canal to that refuge. And if you were the first boat down the canal, it was like you were in Africa, because the gators
looked like a Tarzan movie.
Oh yeah, they were coming off both banks. I mean, into that canal, and it was incredible. I mean, you thought you were in Africa, you know?
Right.
I mean, all
alligators instead of crocodiles.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then once you got in that compartment, I mean, like I said, you could see 300 or 400 alligators everywhere.
Wow.
Just everywhere. Man. You had trouble finding a place to throw your topwaters. And we used to catch those bass on those old jitterbugs. You know, that jitterbug.
The old jitterbug, yeah.
Yeah, jitterbugs and hula poppers, man. That was our main go-to.
But, yeah.
You know. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Tiny tarpedas, hell raisers.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you can catch trout on both of those, too.
You can. I promise you can.
Yeah.
Fish or fish,
I never had tried to catch trout on a jitterbug, but I bet you could. Guarantee
you. If you threw it enough, you could. I promise you could.
I guarantee you. There's so many of those baits that we used to use back then that nobody uses anymore. I was digging through one of my dad's old tackle boxes, and he still had some of those old baits, old stick baits and stuff like that from bass fishing. And
Devil's horses
Devil horses.
Lucky 13s and just.
Yeah. I guarantee you those old baits like that still would work. Guarantee it. They didn't have rattles in them. But back then, nobody even thought to put a rattle in them, you know?
No.
Some of those baits. But
I remember when Merlure first came out, they started putting rattles in their, you know, 51s and 52s, MR-51s and all that.
Mm-hmm.
All the old-timers going, well, they done ruined that bait. Well, no, they didn't. It made it even better. We said, man, rattles in all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's right. Now, when Paul Brown put a rattle in his corky.
Rattle chamber in that corky. That was a game changer, wasn't it?
I'm telling you. I said, well, Paul, you think that'll help? I mean, you think a fish can hear that rattle in that rubber? And he just smiled. He said, well, maybe. You know, I said, well, we'll see. You know, it's going to muffle that sound. But sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I remember when they started making all those little, those little bullet-shaped rattle chambers with a couple of BBs in them that you'd put into a soft plastic.
And right.
That was a game changer up here, especially in off-colored water, dirty water. It increased your strike ratio considerably, you know?
It did, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's changed the difference. Yep. And these soft plastics with rattles in their tails, you know, I've done real well with those.
Right.
And where, you know, you could throw a soft plastic without it and not have a hit. Change over to that and start hammering.
Start getting bites, yeah.
You just can't tell me there's not a difference. I mean, there is a difference, you know. I guarantee you.
Well, look at all our topwaters, man. That's what makes that she-dog so much better in a lot of ways, because it's got such a, you know, a raspier, louder rattle chamber in it. You know, it makes a lot of noise. Get a lot of, catch a lot of attention of a lot of fish with that bait, especially when the water's sandy, you know, a little stained or off color. It works, man.
Or if the wind's blowing, you know, wind's blowing. I like a she-dog because it's louder, you know, and I want to get their attention. And, you know, that's what I'll throw. I'll throw something with a loud rattle. And I like fishing with old Jody and Jody Norris. And boy, Jody will make them mad. You know, boy, he works that top water hard, boy.
Well, and when it's calm, that's, you know, I've always done that. When it's calm, I work my top waters a lot faster and put more on it. And
yeah, just make them mad.
Yeah, and then when it's, you know, it's windy and rough, then you slow it down.
Right. But you got to make noise with it.
You do. You know, I'll speed it up. You know, I'll get a dog walking action going where I speed it up real good, and I'll slow it down and just crawl it, you know, and speed it up, and they'll come find it. And then, boy, sometimes you just stop it and let the wave action move it a little bit with that tail sitting down. They'll just suck it down, especially the big ones. You won't even hardly see a blow up. They'll just suck it under.
Oh, yeah. They'll just hang on.
Yeah, buddy.
Damn, hang on. Yeah, they're there. That's like right now, you know. I know there's some good fish in this one area, and, you know, I know they're there. And you just take that top water to ease it along in there. And I like to just shake it a little bit and just work it along in through these grass beds and stuff. And you know those fish are in there. And just be ready, because they're going to hammer it, you know. There's a lot of 16, 17-inch trout right now, and which are best eating size, really. I mean, those are awesome eating size. We ate some yesterday, matter of fact, and went to one of the restaurants here, and we had them do some fried, half and half, half fried, half grilled. And, oh, my goodness, we heard
that was good, fresh fish. Oh, man.
Oh, there's nothing better. Nothing better than that.
Yeah, Friday night I got invited to a good friend's house, and we had some fresh Baffin Bay trout. God, those taste good. Oh, my goodness.
Man, yeah. It doesn't get much better than that.
They got into some smaller ones, you know, and kept those for table fare, and they were really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I told you, one of my neighbors called me one day and asked me if I had any trout. I said, well, I don't keep any, you know, unless I'm going to eat them that day.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, are you going to go out? I said, well, matter of fact, I'm going to go out and scout. And this was when the limit was five. They were fixing to change it to three. And I said, I'm going out and scout. She said, well, if you'll catch some, I'm coming down to Port O'Connor. And she said, I'll fry us up some fish. I said, okay. So I went out and I went to this one area that I really like, and I always catch fish in this one gut. And I got out of the boat and I waded into this one gut and I made five casts. I caught five trout. I got back on the boat and I called her before she left Victoria. And I said, heat the grease, heat the grease. I'm coming home. And man, we had, she got back down to Port O'Connor, and boy, we had fresh fish at lunch, and it doesn't get much fresher than that. And I'll tell you what, that fish just almost melted in your mouth, you know. Those trout were just fantastic.
It's hard to beat. It really is.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't like to even freeze them, you know. It's just...
No, if you can get away from it, that's the way to go, is eat them fresh, right out of the water.
Absolutely.
I used to love that when I was a kid. You know, when we'd stay down on West End at the beach house, my dad and them would catch trout in the surf early that morning, and, man, they'd fillet them out. We'd have that fresh fish right out of the surf. And
oh, man.
I don't think there's a better eating trout anywhere than out of the surf. They just have a distinct, I mean, they're just so pure tasting.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
Had a listener send me a text while we were talking. Said, good morning, captains. Was asking if either of you throw a mirror lure 7M floating twitch bait. Is this a good time of year to use it?
Yes, I have.
All of the above.
Yes. That's a fact.
We use them a lot this time of year, you know, especially when the glass minnow pattern's going good and they're, you know, how trout get, they're so finicky and lethargic with that glass minnow pattern and we do them good.
And I'm seeing glass minnows too. I mean, we're seeing them.
Everybody, a lot of glass minnows this year, all up and down the coast. Cliff's even seeing them in Baffin, a lot of them down there.
Yeah, we're seeing them. Yep.
Those trout get on that pattern, and they become really hard to catch at times. But that 7M, you know, I'm real partial to the 18 and the 19. That's the two greenbacks, you know, more natural baits. One, the 18 has a white belly with silver sides, and the 19 has a gold sides with a yellow belly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my two favorite. I mean, there's other colors. You can get them in chartreuse and, you know, the old 26s and 28s and different colors, but those two and for what you're using them for. And it's a versatile bait. You can jig it like crazy. You can slow it down. You can do whatever. You know, if you work it hard, you can take it under the surface just a little bit and then slow it down, and it'll start working its way back up. And they can't refuse it. You put it on top of them, they want it. They'll smoke it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good in the fall, too. It's a good fall bait also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One Sunday, I'll never forget, I've got a radio sitting here at one of my desks, and I had this VHF radio on. So I heard this guy call a buddy of his, and he said, "Hey, man, you need to get over here." He said, "I've got a bunch of fish on me," and he said, "Man, I'm on them big time." And the guy said, "Well, where are you?" He said, "I'm between Pascavallo and the big jetties. I'm in the surf." And I jumped up, and I grabbed my phone, and I called a buddy of mine. His house is at the end of my street on the canal, and I said, "Is your boat in a sling?" He said, "Oh yeah." I said, "We got to go, man. We got to go." So, I ran down there and threw my stuff on his boat, and we ran down to what we call Sunday Beach at that time. And we ran across the beach, and we got to the surf, and all that sargassum weed was just coming in from the surf. I mean, it was just stacked up on the beach, and all that sargassum was just thick in the surf. And we both had mirror lures tied on, man. And he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, this is going to be fun." With a mirror lure, got three treble hooks on it, you know, and he said, "Oh, this is going to be fun." So we waited out to the first bar, and we were going to cast into that second gut, and all that sargassum was just thick coming in, and we both spotted a good opening in between all that sargassum, and I said, "Cast into that opening." Boy, he cast in there, and he looked over at me, and he, with this disgusting look on his face, you know. And I said, "Well, just don't reel it." And he let it sink, and he reared back on his rod, and his rod was bent, you know. He had this disgusting look on his face as he looked at me, and he went, "Wait a minute, I think that's a trout." he reared back on his rod. I cast over in an opening and just let it sink, and then I set the hook on a fish, and we both had really good trout on. And we sat there and just hammered them. You know, you didn't even have to work that mirror lure. You just let it sink, and they stick it, or they just slam it. But they were thick in there, and all that sargassum. But if you tried to reel it, you'd come back with a glob of sargassum on the end of it. But they were under that sargassum weed like crazy.
Yeah, and Cliff's actually excited because he's, you know, getting a lot of it down his way now.
Really?
Yeah, he thinks it makes fishing better down there. It's more difficult.
Oh, I believe
it. You know, it's a pain in the butt, you know, fishing through it with lures, but
oh yeah,
fish.
Oh, I came in from the surf one day. I came in through the big jetties, and I turned in through the big jetties, and just as I got to the bay, where it opens up into the bay, all that sargassum was pretty thick. And as I'm coming in through the bay, there were triple tail all under that sargassum.
Oh, yeah.
They were everywhere under that sargassum.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
you know, the years we get a lot of seaweed and it comes through our jetties and everything, we end up having a really good triple tail year, you know, in the bays.
Oh, yeah.
They come with it.
It's, oh, yeah. And they're horrible.
Floating
they're
structure, terrible. Man. That's what it's all about on them triple tail.
Oh, and they're terrible to eat, too, aren't they?
Oh, they're just horrible. I'll take all of them you don't want.
Oh, you better
what
know
don't
it.
You want?
You but, better know it.
But, yeah, that's quite good table fare. Biggest one I ever caught was on just a soft plastic tail I pitched to it. It was on a dead gaff top. I'm running across the bay, and I look over to the right, and there's a big old dead gaff top floating on the surface, and there's a huge triple tail sitting under it like he's getting out of the sun. I spun
really?
That boat around and put the troll motor down and eased up there and just pitched to him like I'm bass fishing. He smoked it. Big old triple tail.
I
put that one
on
in the cooler. You got that right. He messed up sitting under that gaff top. I saw him.
I'll be darned.
Let me knock his brake out. I'll come right back. All right, buddy. Well, you know, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop and have all of your processing needs done. You know, their processing facility and their meat market are right next door to one another. And they run their processing facility year-round. They never close. So if you're hunting exotic animals or wild hogs, hey, they're the place to go. We're located right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign. They're right next door to one another. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue in their meat market. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and all their pulled pork, homemade hot dogs. Check out their ground beef specials, only $3.59 a pound when you buy it in 10-pound bulk packs. And if you're looking to have a custom process pre-order on a quarter calf or a half calf, that's available also. And any wild game that you have done in their processing facility, check out their Vinny Dogs and Hog Dogs. That's homemade hot dogs using your own venison or wild pigs. You can bring something home from your hunt the entire family can enjoy all year long. And the Belleville Meat Market is celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Somebody's knocking, should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil, would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:40 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, we were waiting on flat one time. I had some customers, we were wading out about waist deep or a little deeper, and we were casting up along the edge of the flat, and we were doing pretty good on the trout. You know, those trout were working the edge of that flat, and so we were casting soft plastic up along the edge of that flat, working them off the flat into the deeper water and sticking those trout along there, and looked up, and one of my customers said, "What's that?" And I said, "Man, that's a triple tail." He was cruising the edge of that flat. You know, he's about a 10-pound triple tail.
Yeah.
Pretty good one. And I said, "Come on, man. Let's catch that triple tail." Cast in front of him. Boy, and he was just cruising along, you know, just kind of finning along. And we started chasing that triple tail. And he was just on his side, and he was just easing along, you know. And we left those trout to try to catch that triple tail. I mean, man. This one customer and I, we just started after him, boy. And I bet you we followed that triple tail for 100 yards or more. And we kept casting to him and casting to him. And I finally dropped a soft plastic right in front of him. And I put on kind of a white or cream-colored shrimp tail. And I dropped it right in front of him. And, boy, he went down after it. And I stuck him. And, man, he took off and he ripped off some line and it just pulled out. I went, "Dadgummit, man." And so we stopped and we were talking about it. And then I looked up and he popped back up on the surface about probably 30 or 40 yards from us and just kept going, you know, just kept pinning. But we left him. We just said, well, I mean, we were worn out chasing him in.
Yeah, sometimes they'll jump on it, and other times they won't even think about it. I bet if you had a live shrimp and you put it in front of him, though, he'd take it.
Oh, in a heartbeat. But we just left him. We let him go and went back to catching our trout. But, he was just cruising, man. He just was cruising along that drop-off, you know. And it's so frustrating a lot of times if I got customers on the boat and we're out, you know, fishing around one of the rigs or whatever, and you look up and you see those triple tail nosing around the pilings or something like that, and you can't get them to cast anywhere near them. That's frustrating for me. You know, I go, man, cast right there. Look at that triple tail. And they can't even cast anywhere near them. Oh, that's heartening, disheartening, you know.
I had a guy wading with me one time, and we were over by Cedar Point wading there behind Dow's Reef, and he hooks up on something on the top water, and he gets it up to him and said, man, I got a carp. I waded over there. I said, that ain't no buffalo or carp. And I looked down, and it was a big old triple tail, about 8 or 10 pounds. And I said, man, put him on a stringer. He said, man, what kind of fish? And he didn't even, he'd never caught one or seen one. I said, buddy, that's going to be the best eating fish you ever ate. But caught it on top water.
You should have told him it wasn't good to eat. You need to take it
home.
Yeah,
I said, yeah, let me take that home. I'll use it for gator bait this fall.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kind of like exactly. My Uncle Joe when he'd tell him guys deer hunting him, greenhorns, tell him, yeah. He'd cut the back straps out of their old deer when he had them hanging up, and he'd act like he threw them in the trash can over there. They said, man, what's wrong with that meat? He said, oh, those are spoil glands. You got to cut them out first.
That's right. That's right.
Spoil glands.
That's what we call those glands. Yeah, those are poison glands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the tenders. The tenders are poison glands, tenderloins. Yep. Yeah, we had a guy that he said he was on a lease for years. He told everybody on that lease those tenderloins were poison glands. He said, I got to get them off the ranch. Here, put them in this cooler. Oh, yeah. Yep. We did that for years. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. But we get guys, you know, hunting with us that, you know, toward the end of the season, they may take a back strap and leave the rest of the deer meat. And heck, they
really?
Say, well, you want to take it? I said, well, heck yeah, I'll take the rest of it. So I'll load up. Usually I'll come back into town. I may have 3 or 4 deer in the back of my truck, you know. And, you know, the ranch is, you know, I'm guiding owner MLD ranches. And so we give the meat away anyway. And I rolled into town one day and I had 3 deer in the back of my truck. And I'm thinking, who can I give these deer to, man? I got, you know, all these deer.
Right.
We have the bank. The bank is on the outskirts of town here. And they have 3 women that work in the bank, and they all know me. And I whipped into the bank, and I walked inside, and I said, okay, who wants a deer? Boy, and all 3 of these women, their hands went up in the air, you know.
All of the above. We all want one.
I said, okay, you know where I live. Get your husbands and bring a cooler. Come over to the house. And boy, here they came, man. After they got off work, boy, they showed up. So I gave each one of them a deer, and they said, you know, we could use another one. I said, okay. All right. Next weekend, I'll be back, and I'll give you another one. No problem. So, you know, with an MLD, you know, we've got.
You got to take all those animals off of there. You got
to
do it.
That's right. You know, we normally have to take about probably 70, 75 does, 75 bucks. You know,
that don't sound like much, but when you go to having to take that many animals, that's hard to do.
That's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. But you have to do that to keep the ratio down, you know, and keep the breeding ratio. That one ranch at George West, the first year that they leased that ranch, the biggest buck they took off that place was a 154. And they started managing it right with a biologist, doing the flyovers and doing it right, doing the count and all that,
right,
and managing it, you know, killing what the biologist recommended. And then, you know, then you saw 200 class deer come off that place.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, you saw, it is. I mean, it makes the difference. It really does. And, you know, you say, well, you've got to take X amount of does and you've got to take X amount of bucks. I mean, that's what you have to do.
And what's the ideal buck to doe ratio, 1-to-1? Is that ideal?
Well, pretty much that, or 2-to-1. You know,
two does, one buck. Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to get it that close. You know, the hard thing is to try to get hunters to shoot the does. That's
right.
The hard part. They don't want to shoot a doe because they're thinking, well, my buck of a lifetime is in the brush right behind that doe, you know?
Right.
So they don't want to do it. But a lot of times you say, well, you're going to have to shoot a doe before you shoot a buck, you know? So that's what you've got to do. But the problem is you got to get them to shoot those does early in the season before they breed. That's what you have to do. And you got to say, shoot a mature doe, not an immature doe. And so that's what we were doing. We were trying to weed out the mature does, get them out of the deal. After the young ones are gone, they kick the young ones off and all that before they start to breed, you know.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine with me last year. We were doing that. We were trying to get the older mature does off before the breeding started. And I was sitting in a stand, and this friend of mine was in another stand, and he texted me, and he said, man, I'm not seeing any movement. I'm not seeing anything. He said, have you seen anything? And I said, well, I've got 3 on the ground. And he said, what? He said, I'm not seeing anything. I said, well, I've got some more right out in front of me. I've got a couple of good ones, two more that are shooters, you know. He said, well, shoot me one. So I said, well, hold on a second. Boom, boy, and I shot him another. I said, all right, I got you one. So he said, well, I'm coming to get you. I said, okay. So he showed up in his mule, and, boy, he just drove around him out there looking at him and shook his head. And I had shot 4 big old mature does, and I shot every one of them in the head. And so I didn't waste any meat or anything. But I said, this is a meat haul. We're doing meat hauls. You know, this is what this is about. And I videoed some really pretty bucks around there with these does. Of course, the bucks aren't even interested in the does at that time.
No.
You know, they're not interested at all. But you have to get rid of those deer way before the breeding starts.
See, that's a problem I see in deep South Texas is – you know, while I'm down there when the rut's just beginning and everything, there's still half of the does down there still have their fawns on them.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't even kicked them off yet.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That is a problem.
And then when you do shoot a doe late in the season, you know, their chances are they're probably pregnant.
No, that's true. That's very true. And I hate to see that. Yeah. So we try to get the doe numbers down early, but like you say, we tell guys, if you're going to shoot does, be careful, because you see a doe come out, wait a little bit to see if there's some yearlings with her.
Yeah, they got yearlings on them. You don't want to take them, you know.
No, you do not. So you got to watch, and then too, when we're keeping the log, one of the things in that log is she wet or not? You know, is she carrying milk? I mean, you gotta keep a log of all this. The biologist wants every bit of information that he can. So, you know, because we fly the ranches with the helicopter, and we're keeping a good count of mature does, yearlings, everything. I mean, they take everything in account. So, they even keep a record of coveys of quail, javelinas, pigs, feral hogs, everything. So they're counting everything. So then they go back to the ranch house and total everything up. You know, it's a pretty interesting deal.
I had a text from another listener. Good morning, Captain. What would be a good bait or baits, hard or soft, to throw in the surf? Well, that's all of them. Take them all with
above.
You. All the above, yeah. Exactly.
It's, man, I'll tell you what. I think there's nothing better than a big old super spook in the surf, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I've gotten away from throwing the big super spook in the bay. I just don't throw it. I throw the small super spook.
Spook Junior. Yeah, that's a good bait, man.
I throw that bait in the bay. But in the surf, oh, boy, I go with that big super spook. Chrome with the blue back is one of my favorites in the surf.
And especially, buddy, when the sun's out, more when you got a lot of sunlight. Yeah. Boy, that chrome and blue's just – God, I don't know how many fish I've caught on chrome and blue top waters over the years.
Oh,
and just
man.
A straight bone, just a straight old bone, you know.
Well,
nothing fancy.
Well, if you take a silver with a blue back, it's going to come back as a bone.
Oh, because after enough fish on it, they'll knock all the chrome off of it.
Every bit of it, yeah. You won't have much chrome left on it.
No.
Because they're ferocious in that surf. It's a whole different deal.
Yeah, those
there.
Tide runners, them surf fish are just, they're a breed of their own. They are powerful, strong fish.
And there'll be some Spanish mackerel in there with them, too.
Well, that's true, too, and not to mention a small shark or a jackfish or, you know, you never know. Or a tarpon.
Yep. I tell you what, I've never seen so many tarpon in the surf.
Y'all have had them, man. It's y'all have, man, the last few years, it's like they want, they want Port O'Connor.
Last year from Port O'Connor to Cedar Bayou, I've never seen that many tarpon. They were
amazing.
Thick. They were thick.
I heard that from a lot of folks.
Man.
Totally
a
incredible.
Lot of tarpon. And I mean good ones, too. Pretty big ones.
Yeah, that just tells you how good y'all's water is there and the right bait fish, right everything. You know, habitat's everything, buddy.
The bait was thick in the surf. I mean, it was just, you know, big wads, big
yeah,
black
like
wads.
walk on it type of, you know, piles of mullet and everything. That's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and every once in a while they just explode, you know.
Yeah.
And you do those tarpon just underneath it and just hammering
it.
Oh,
man, that's good stuff. All right, Lynn, well, I'm out of time, buddy. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, how do they get a hold of you, my friend?
Yes, sir. You can get me at 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn. Well, you have a great Sunday. Good talking to you, buddy.
You too, man. You have a good one.
I'm going to do it. Thank you. All right. It's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem and all that. We'll be right back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.